Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. After a two-hour phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin and subsequent talks with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and NATO leaders, President Trump says the two sides will immediately start negotiations toward a ceasefire and possibly an end to the war. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
President Trump seems to be getting those two sides, Russia and Ukraine, to engage in a meaningful way for the first time since the war began.
The NTSB is now on site of the crash of a ship into the Brooklyn Bridge, which killed two young cadets. Federal accident investigator Brian Young.
Our recorders group, once getting aboard the vessel, will make a full assessment of any recording devices, and we will capture that information and retrieve it.
Vice President J.D. Vance is among those questioning the timing of former President Biden's cancer diagnosis.
We really do need to be honest about whether the former president was capable of doing the job.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Republicans met for their state convention over the weekend. Savannah Tolme Olson has more.
Leaders like Senator Ron Johnson and Representative Derek Van Orden called for unity in their speeches. The keynote came from South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace. The party also voted to oppose same-day voter registration, which became law in Wisconsin in 1975.
May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and the warmer the weather becomes, the more active the ticks are. Ticks are found just about everywhere in Wisconsin and can carry other serious infections besides Lyme disease, including anaplasmosis, Powassan virus, and tick-borne relapsing fever. Dr. James Thatcher is a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. He recommends a variety of ways to prevent tick bites. You can use EPA-approved chemical repellents like DEET to treat your clothing.
You're not supposed to put it on your skin, but it's a chemical, and I have children, and I'm not going to use a chemical on them, so I'm always searching for more.
You can also find natural tick repellents made with essential oils or make your own.
Cedarwood oil, lemongrass, thyme, rosemary, clove, geranium, these chemicals, or herbs. And usually they'd have a lavender in it, too.
Wearing bright colors will allow you to see the ticks on your clothing, especially the baby nymphs that can look like a speck of pepper. Dr. Thatcher says to remove your outside clothing right away when you come in from the outdoors and do a full body check, including your hair. If you find a tick, you want to remove it without squeezing the belly.
You want to lift, you want to pull back, okay? Because when the tick is attached to you, it's building up its stomach juices to infect you.
Symptoms of Lyme disease can vary, but often include fever, fatigue, joint pain, and rash. In some cases, symptoms can progress or persist if not treated early. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers host Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Orioles at AmFam Field tonight for the first of three games. Milwaukee with a 5-2 win over the Twins after losing four of their last five games. I asked Brewers pitcher Trevor Megill, on the 1-10, how badly did they need that win yesterday?
Probably out of 11 out of 10. We really needed that. The energy today and everything just looked and felt great from the first pitch.
Racing, 26-year-old Robert Schwartzman of Israel, becoming the first rookie to win the pole position at Indy since 1983.
I don't know what even to say. The car felt amazing. Coming here for my first oval race, I would never even expect myself to be in this position. It's unbelievable, honestly. Big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the fans who came here, who were cheering for me. Big thanks to y'all.
Schwartzman clocked at 232.7 miles per hour. The Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wet pattern ahead, increasing clouds tonight, showers possible late, and a low in the low 40s. Scattered showers for tomorrow, high only near 50 and staying windy. Still a few lingering showers Wednesday, a high in the low 50s. Right now it's 53.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home, for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One, two, come on, two, three, go.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Who doesn't? Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight. We are kicking off hour number two, act two, as I like to call it. If you're just joining us, oh man, did you miss out on an hour of incredible radio, ladies and gentlemen. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite SNL cast member? Season 50, a historic season, just ended Saturday night, and so that's what we're asking. We've had a lot of great answers. We still got some on the text line. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
Oh, I have a favorite moment on Saturday Night.
Oh, you can share that too.
Bruno Mars hosted and sang, and they did a skit about Pandora, where Pandora was down, so he had to sing all the requests, and he was brilliant.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes,
I like him too. He did a great Super Bowl show a few years ago.
Yeah.
His was one of the better ones, I thought. Yeah, he's really fun. He's got like a half Michael Jackson, half John Mayer. I don't know. Is he hip hop?
He's a blend of many things.
Conrad, what is Bruno Mars to you?
I would say he's more pop, I feel like.
He defies classification.
But he there you go. He dances and stuff, right? Yeah. Like he does all that.
You know, he got his start playing like a little Elvis in Vegas in a Nick Cage movie.
What was the one where they jump out of the plane? The Elvises jump out of the plane with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Uh-huh. That's the one.
Oh, what was that called? That's a great movie. Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah.
That was a really fun movie.
I think that's the one. And he played the little Elvis.
I always forget about that movie. That was a really fun Nick Cage movie. Joe on the text says, he's in the 715, he says, Bill Hader.
Mm, all right. Oh, yeah.
Bill Hader's great.
Mm-hmm.
When he does Shepard Smith, very funny.
Oh, and
what is that?
The person at the desk on Weekend Update who has all the update, all the places where you need to go. When you're in New York City.
I don't think I know that.
You have to go to Gang Bang Shang-a-Lang. They have the best.
Kristen, can we say Gang Bang Shang-a-Lang on this show?
It's the name of a club in New York City.
What are you talking about? It's an actual place? Oh.
It is at the moment.
It's on
a great
us
name.
Now, you know?
I would imagine there'd be a line around the door, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. But it is great to have you with us, folks. Kristen Lierley is here. Steve Seagren coming up at 7:35. You got our question. Let us know what you're thinking. It's always more fun when you guys participate. We'll read some stream comments soon. We're going to give Kristen a quiz.
I'm ready.
About Northeast Wisconsin. She is kind of, you spent your whole life here mostly, right?
Well, I mean, I grew up here and then I went to the University of Minnesota for college and I was in Georgia, kind of all over the place.
What's in Georgia?
The University of Georgia. I did an exchange program there. I'm a dog.
Wait a minute.
Sick'em.
I always think of an exchange program as like foreign exchange. We have exchange programs within our
Georgia?
Own state. I was like, the one by Russia or what? What?
No.
Hey, let's talk about, you just came from a conference, an OBGYN conference.
Our big national OBGYN conference.
What's
was
that
in
like?
Minneapolis.
I mean, I honestly, do OBGYNs get crazy when they all get together, or do they swap horror stories? Or you wouldn't believe this one woman, you know, like, is it inside stuff?
It's not what you think it would be, but it definitely defies boundaries. What do I think it would be?
Conrad, what comes to your mind when you think OBGYN conference? You guys
it all sounds fun.
Sit in stirrups and like shout and like pass drinks around. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, no.
What would we think it is, or what is it? How much fun do you have there?
Well, I'll give you an example. So it's a big meeting. There are 63,000 OBGYNs who are part of this organization.
Oh my gosh.
So they don't all come to the conference.
Yeah.
But it's a big, like the whole convention center is full. So they've got all these vendors all over the place, and they're, you know, telling us about their cool stuff. And one of my favorite things, this wasn't this year, but at a past meeting, they had a lube bar, because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So they had a lube bar, so you could go sample lubes.
Okay.
And then in the middle of the lube bar, they had a giant vulva made of roses.
Oh, that's pretty.
Those are my people.
Wow. That's very celebrating the whole process, kind of.
Well, yeah, that's our process.
It's giving birth. It's a big deal. Was there, like, when it came to the lubes, was there like a jar of Crisco on one end?
Mm-mm, just
in,
not
if you're in a pinch?
No. If you're in a pinch, go like almond oil. In a real pinch, you could do olive oil.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave that one.
Yeah. I recommend a water-based lube, though, if you're actually going to buy one.
But when you say lube, and I have to be careful how I choose my words here, but what do you need that to give birth, the woman?
No, it's for sex. Well, you could use it for giving birth. Most people don't. You know, sometimes you need a little extra, you know, slipperiness.
Okay, so, but you're an OBGYN. Mm-hmm. What gives you the right to tell me how to have sex? No, I'm just kidding. Like, so that's, I just thought that was for like an appointment you use lube or something. I didn't realize it was strictly sexually based or something like that.
We actually use different lube in the office. We always put it on the speculum, which is the instrument that we put inside the vagina,
yes,
so that we
okay
can see inside. So that's a different kind of lube, because it can't handle friction.
It doesn't get your motor running?
It can't handle friction.
Oh.
You need something really slippery if you're using it for sex. And you also have to be careful, because you don't want, if you're using a toy that is silicone-based, you don't want to use a lube that is silicone-based, which is why I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
Conrad cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing? I think he's smitten. So you're saying for sex, or let me ask you this, should I use an avocado oil because it's healthier than an olive oil when I have sex?
Avocado oil is one that I've not recommended in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding, obviously. Like, you eat avocado oil, right?
You eat olive oil and you could use that.
Yeah. Wow. Is that just like, an impulse?
I mean, you can eat what you want, Pete.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, if you have, is that something like you forget? Oh, honey, I forgot to get lube at the store. Do we have any olive oil?
You could do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
They wouldn't consciously choose to use olive oil, would they?
Sure.
Oh, really?
Some people are very sensitive to artificial products. Ah. So they want to use something that's very natural. Coconut oil, coconut milk, coconut. You know, the coconut.
Yeah, the paste. It's like it's a weird, yeah.
We're like pawing into the coconut paste right now.
I'm almost ready, honey. All right. So, well, I mean, as long as we're on the topic and this is Nightlight, we are on later. I've been told we can push the envelope a little bit, but is there a good lubricant that's non-food related that people could use?
Yeah, there's slippery stuff. Yeah. There's,
but I mean, can you name, like, what is it? Is this like Astroglide stuff, or what is that? Okay.
I'm so proud of you.
Well,
good job.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
It's a very proud moment for me on the show. Just told everyone what kind of it's an impulse buy. Like we talked about last year in the aisles. Well, you never know. Could happen. I'll take this, you know.
You never know.
You got to have some ready.
When you're standing there and you're looking at all the different options and you're like, I don't know. Well,
yeah. Where do I start?
To choose from.
Right.
You know, pick one.
So this is all at the conference. This is all at the conference. Where Conrad's pointing at something. this is all stuff that's at the conference. Like, they have lubes out. Like, I would think you guys would already know about all that stuff. So what's with the presentation?
Well, there are different kinds, and we know about some of them, but it's nice to learn about new things.
Yeah.
They've got vibrators. They've got soothies, like ice packs for women who are breastfeeding.
Oh.
So you put them in your bra, sure, and they make your breast feel more comfortable, or your bottom. They have that too.
Yeah.
And then they had cool stuff like AI in medicine and how you can use AI to be more efficient and more accurate when you're doing your documentation with your patients.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant for like dating purposes. I don't think I would ever date an AI.
That's a whole other thing.
I know.
Using AI to pick your partner.
Oh,
or
really?
Date.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
going to be huge. I think that's going to be the wave of the future.
I'm worried about that.
Me too. Because it's strange. We have a texter that says, wants to get in on this conversation. And thank goodness. Brian from Milwaukee says, was trying to enjoy a nice big bowl of popcorn during your entertainment show until lube came into play.
Don't put it on your popcorn, Brian.
He says, or playing with lube. He changed the way he said that. And I got what you did there, Brian. Thank you. So, all right.
Although you can also pop your popcorn in olive oil if you want to. Generally not recommended, though.
I've heard popping one's popcorn could be seen as an aphrodisiac. Does that happen? People just hear that popcorn in the microwave and all of a sudden, next thing you know.
I feel like we're learning a lot about you right now, Pete.
I don't know what happened. I started popping popcorn. Next thing you know, I'm throwing myself at the screen door. What is happening? No, I give out. I make jokes, but I do not divulge 1 ounce of personal information on this show. Right, Conrad? You don't even think you know me, do you?
I thought I did, but I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth every show, you know?
Schwabe is just his showbiz name.
I got a new
exactly.
I got a new promo every time in the show, just from something new that I learned from him.
You're going to pull a whole library from this show. Whenever Kristen's here, something's going on. All right, so we have as much as I'd like to talk about my habits, I would like to give Dr. Kristen Lyerly a quiz about Northeast Wisconsin. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, Conrad, you got the sound effects ready? Oh, look at that. That gets me aroused for some reason. I don't even know what.
Does it?
Isn't that weird? Like, maybe I have a game show fetish.
Maybe you do. Wow.
All right.
Wink Martindale. Ciao.
A nice pull. Wink Martindale. And a triple. All right. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. She's all about the medicine and the community, and it's great. If you have not checked out the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, check it out here on WISS mm-hmm. on Saturdays, correct?
Saturday and Sunday at 3, and of course, the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media app, which everyone, I think all of our listeners probably have that by now, don't you think, Conrad?
I hope so.
Yeah. I love it's the a great Civic app. Media app.
Very easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I say that every night, but it's true. All right, so here are our Northeast Wisconsin questions for our guest in studio, Dr. Mm-hmm. Kristen Lyerly. All right, what is the oldest city in Wisconsin? That's not Northeast Wisconsin. That's like the whole state. We can't expect her to know this kind of stuff.
It's Green Bay.
She went to medical school. That doesn't mean
she got it right.
I do have multiple choices.
Wait, is it really? Is that the right answer?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, hit that thing again, Conrad.
You know, Milwaukee just used to be little. Like, Racine used to be bigger than Milwaukee.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't like that one bit. Mm-hmm. What kind of monkey business that is. All right. Number two, what was originally the name of Green Bay? Was it A, the Bay City?
I think it was the Bay of Stinking Waters.
Get out
and
of here.
I'm from Kakana. I know Stinking Waters.
It's actually
the French translation.
Yes. So that's, yeah. I don't know how to say that in French, but that's what it means.
La
Baie de Pew.
La Baie de Eau Toilet Water.
La Baie de Pew.
All right. She's 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
You're crushing it. Number three. What river runs through Green Bay? A, the Milwaukee. B, the Marinette. C, the Fox River. D, the Peach Cobbler River.
That'd be the Fox.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 3 for 3. Do you know what Peach mm-hmm. Cobbler refers to?
No.
That's what a girl in college thought my name was.
Oh.
So it's like a running joke we have here. Peach Cobbler. We're trying to get them to put a gelato flavor next door. All right. So now you know.
That.
Number four. What French explorer discovered Green Bay? Was it A, Jean Nicolet? I said that.
Nicolet?
Very American. B, Curly Lambeau. C, Sir Peachwaba III. No relation. Mm. D, Conrad the Great Krieger. Can you tell who wrote these questions?
Yeah, C and D are great options.
Yeah.
B, he's a Walloon Belgian. So I'm going to go with A, Jean Nicolet.
I am really in over my I can't believe how you broke that down. That was really impressive.
I had a process of elimination.
That was really, really. What's your IQ?
It's at least 100.
I don't want to ask you. I don't want to ask you a personal question. How much do you make a year? Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. We'll have more with Kristen. She's going to finish our quiz right after this. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are getting two hosts for the price of one, folks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, and joining me is my fellow Civic Media host and host here on WGBW and WISS of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Hey-ho.
Hey-ho. You're staying for the whole hour. This is so great. And you can stay as long as you want. My buddy Steve is on, and I said, I kind of sold this show like this is the first time you and Steve have ever been on the same show.
Oh.
It's the first, right?
Yeah.
Conrad? We're making Nightlight history yet again.
I think we make history every night.
Just about every night. Yeah. That was the first time we've ever talked about lubricants.
Yes.
With any degree of, yep. We did kind of a deep dive there.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even change my own oil, so I wouldn't know anything. All right. Dr. Lyerly is in the middle of taking our quiz, our Northeast Wisconsin quiz. She is 5 for 5, correct?
4 for 4.
No, we did.
We didn't do 5.
Yes. Yeah, 4 for 4.
Wait, where's the stinky? Oh,
I'm
use stinking water.
No, it was. So we just did the Fox River one.
Okay. No, we did the French. French
you're
Explorer.
Getting, the stinking water thing is
in there
is tripping
twice.
You up.
That's mm-hmm. why I was okay. All right. So she's 4 for 4.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yep. Is she ready?
Oh yeah.
You got the dinger ready?
Yep.
Number 5. Besides Tinseltown, what is another nickname? Nick is capped there. So.
I was typing fast, all right?
Well, besides Titletown, what is another nickname for Green Bay? A, stinking water city. B, the toilet paper capital of the world. C, the drunkest city on earth. D, the brat capital of the Midwest.
Isn't Madison the brat, Sheboygan the brat capital of the Midwest?
I don't know, but I...
The drunkest city in the country
like they could be.
Is Green Bay.
Is that true?
Yes.
I know it's in Wisconsin. I didn't know it was actually Green Bay.
Well, that's like 2017 data.
We've really gotten it together since then.
I think like 8 of the 10 drunkest cities are in Wisconsin.
And if you notice, when you look at those studies, they put two cities together sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like La Crosse-Omro. It's like, yeah, wait, Omro. Actually, we have like 16 of the top 10, you know. All right.
Okay,
so,
wait. I have to tell you a funny story. And it's related to the answer.
Okay.
My mom used to work at Paper Converting and in Ashwaubenon. And this is a company that makes like machines that convert paper into toilet paper. And they would test the machines out, and then they'd get to take home like the flawed products.
Oh, nice.
So she would come home with giant garbage bags full of toilet paper, which we thought was normal. And when I was in college, I would just take it to my friends, and I'd be like the toilet paper fairy. So, of course, we are the toilet paper capital of the world.
Wow. Another way to decipher. You talked yourself into that one.
With your
own personal experience. That's
do you know why else? Because in Green Bay, we were the first to figure out how to make toilet paper without splinters.
Oh, dear.
That is true story.
Wow.
I know. We're back to lube.
Of course. That's incredible. Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Kristen Lyerly is 5 for 5.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. And, Annie from Watertown, she's in the 920. She says, when is the doctor show on? Caps all in when? Listen, Annie, I don't like your attitude one bit, but we did say her show is on Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. here on WGBW and WISS, correct?
Yes, yeah. And wherever you get your podcasts.
And wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. All right. Kristen Lyerly is 5 for 5. Here are some Oshkosh questions.
This one's going to be harder
for
me.
New category.
Yeah, I'm not super good on Oshkosh.
That's so big for your britches now, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
What is Oshkosh's nickname? A, Oshmagosh. B, Sawdust City. C, EAA Village. Or D, Winnebago Town.
It could be all of these things. My sister actually lives in Omro. She went to Oshkosh. I'm going to go with Oshmagosh because I like how it sounds and it feels good coming out of my mouth.
It is not.
Oh!
What is it?
Do you have a...
It is Sawdust City.
I thought that was a city up in northwest Wisconsin. I really didn't think that was it either. Mm-hmm. Don't you have a buzzer?
It suddenly disappeared.
Okay. Right. We don't want to do it. We like to make our guests feel welcome.
It's mean.
True.
Yeah.
This next one feels like a trick question.
What famous clothing manufacturer is Oshkosh home to? A, Levi, B, Nike, C, Oshkosh Bagosh, or D, Wrangler Jeans?
I'm going to go with C, Oshkosh Bagosh.
It is.
5 for 6. Crushing it. Number 3, free one. Has she really earned a free one? I mean,
yes.
I know she's doing well.
All right. Yeah.
Conrad's...
I'm weak on Oshkosh. I need a free one.
All right. What is your favorite event that Oshkosh hosts?
Everybody loves the EAA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Conrad's other. Oh, there are no. You didn't even put multiple guests under that.
No, that's just whatever she wanted.
Okay.
It's a free.
It's a free.
All right. She could have said lube capital of the world. Number 4. How did Oshkosh get its name? A, famous architect by the name of Frank Oshkosh. B, explorer Webster Stanley. C, Chief Oshkosh. D, an 1890 tourist said, oh my gosh, this is so Osh. Osh was the name of his friend.
I want it to be D, but the answer is C.
Chief Oshkosh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Where did you come up with Webster Stanley?
That is the guy who found it, the explorer.
My wife's student taught at a school called Webster Stanley in Oshkosh.
Okay.
That's why I thought maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was named after the guy who founded Oshkosh.
But Chief Oshkosh.
No, it was Chief Oshkosh who it was named after.
Yeah. Who was a terrible teacher, I might add.
I don't know.
He's probably knew his stuff. All right. Let's try to get another one in here. What is UW Oshkosh's team name? I know this one. B, the Bagoshes.
It should be the Bagoshes.
I agree. B, Winnebago Waters. C, the Sawmills. D, the Titans.
The Titans. Remember them.
We are the Titans, the mighty, mighty Titans.
Ooh.
You did really well. We're going to save the Appleton questions for next time, I think, because
I'm reading
just been really emasculating.
The wealthy businessman Conrad Appleton Kirk.
We didn't even get to your documentary or the Instagram people you like, the magicians.
You're going to have me back.
Are you going to see Mission Impossible this weekend?
Mm, not a big Tom Cruise fan.
All right, we're done here. Thank you. Lube or no lube, this interview is over.
His teeth don't line up.
Oh, nice, Kristen. Really? All right, we got to go. Stick around if you want, but Kristen Lyerly, ladies and gentlemen, golf clap, great stuff. Listen to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. We are coming right back after the news. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Put it in
the ground where the This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. After a two-hour phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin and subsequent talks with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and NATO leaders, President Trump says the two sides will immediately start negotiations toward a ceasefire and possibly an end to the war. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
President Trump seems to be getting those two sides, Russia and Ukraine, to engage in a meaningful way for the first time since the war began.
The NTSB is now on site of the crash of a ship into the Brooklyn Bridge, which killed two young cadets. Federal accident investigator Brian Young.
Our recorders group, once getting aboard the vessel, will make a full assessment of any recording devices, and we will capture that information and retrieve it.
Vice President J.D. Vance is among those questioning the timing of former President Biden's cancer diagnosis.
We really do need to be honest about whether the former president was capable of doing the job.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers host Baltimore.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Orioles at AmFam Field tonight for the first of three games. Milwaukee with a 5-2 win over the Twins after losing four of their last five games. I asked Brewers pitcher Trevor Megill, on the 1-10, how badly did they need that win yesterday?
Probably out of 11 out of 10. We really needed that. The energy today and everything just looked and felt great from the first pitch.
Racing, 26-year-old Robert Schwartzman of Israel, becoming the first rookie to win the pole position at Indy since 1983.
I don't know what even to say. The car felt amazing. Coming here for my first oval race, I would never even expect myself to be in this position. It's unbelievable, honestly. Big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the fans who came here, who were cheering for me. Big thanks to y'all.
Schwartzman clocked at 232.7 miles per hour. The Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jennifer Lawrence is the last true movie star, according to Sean Penn. The actor discussed numerous celebrities on the Louis Theroux podcast recently, and as usual, spoke his mind. The Fast Times at Ridgemont High star said he felt the movie star manufacturer stopped working right after Lawrence. That's a lot of pressure on Lawrence. Penn also had effusive praise for Tom Cruise, calling him an extraordinary craftsman and an actor who pursues excellence on such a high level. Penn also talked about how impressed he was with the fact that Cruise does his own stunts and called him, in addition to being a remarkable actor, probably the best stuntman in Hollywood. Penn did say there were many young great actors out there, and when asked if Timothée Chalamet was one of them, said he hadn't seen any of the A Complete Unknown stars' films. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wet pattern ahead, increasing clouds tonight, showers possible late, and a low in the low 40s. Scattered showers for tomorrow, high only near 50 and staying windy. Still a few lingering showers Wednesday, a high in the low 50s. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on Tuesday, Pat Kreitlow makes his victorious return to the big chair. We'll hear all about his vacation and cover the big stories from across the nation. Join us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back. Dr. Kristen Lierley showed up dancing, and she exited the studio dancing.
That's how you do it.
But let me ask you this. If you were giving birth and the doctor kind of did one of these into the delivery room, would that put you at ease?
I think that would make me excited about
well, this is a
getting
party.
This baby out.
She knows what she's doing. All right. Thank you very much to Dr. Kristen Lierley for being in the studio tonight. I learned more about lubricants than I ever thought. I didn't know I had that much to learn, to be honest with you. But we got through it. So always fun when Kristen Lierley is here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He is a very good friend of mine, an accomplished artist. I shouldn't even like this guy because he's like good at everything. He was a great comedian. He's a great actor. And now he's selling paintings like it's going out of style. My friend, Mr. Steve Segrin. Steve, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I'm good.
You got
that. You can hear me?
Yeah. Are you just doing that?
Did I miss the lube talk?
No, you missed. It's all available on the podcast, buddy. You'll learn a lot. I certainly learned a lot. I didn't know what was going on there for a while, but it was all medical talk. that's how you could. And I just told Dr. Lierley that. I said, if I bring up lube, it's like this pervy weirdo, but she's a doctor, so she can bring up anything.
Yeah, so you can talk about anything with a doctor that won't sound pervy, right?
So I got to slip her notes. Okay. Hey, bring up this disgusting topic so I can... Steve, how's it going? It's good to see you, buddy.
It's going good.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I'm on your show. It's the third time.
Yes.
Third time I've been on your show.
And every time you're on the show, you have all these new paintings. I cannot believe how hard you work at this.
I got nothing else to do.
Well, that may be. But other people rob banks. You say, no, I'm going to paint.
No, I will not rob a bank today. Right. Today I will not rob a bank.
Correct. But how long? The website, folks, is paintingsbystevesegrin.com. Segrin is spelled S-E-A-G-R-E-N. Paintingsbystevesegrin.com. And I'm really amazed. It's like if you'd worked this hard on writing new jokes when you're a comedian, you probably would have. No, I'm not the guy to say that because I shouldn't talk. But how you're very prolific at this. I know you love it, but how long do each of these take to do typically, Steve?
It depends. You know, I finished a new one last week. And then I started a new one the next day, and then I just finished that today. So I guess about a week, sometimes a little more. It depends. I always get to a point like midway through where I absolutely hate it.
Really?
I hate what I'm doing. I want to paint over it and throw it out, but I plug through, and it ends up okay. But, yeah, every painting is like torture.
So all right, so you've been doing this a while now, and you live in Southern California, and you paint Southern California. I'm always kind of like when I lived in LA, I loved like Midwest portraits around my house. And now that I'm in the Midwest, I like California stuff to remind me of my year. It's really strange, but you have all these great paintings of LA and Southern California. What was it that inspired you to do these?
Just, you know what? I think it's just because I'm around here, you know, so just painting what's around me, you know, but also, and this may sound weird, but I like the light here. I remember when I used to come here when I was a kid, because my family was originally from here.
Oh.
And we would visit, we'd, you know, fly out to visit for Christmas or whatever. And I remember everything looked different. The colors looked different than in the Midwest, you know?
Yeah.
And I that's why I kind of like painting Los Angeles or Southern California, just because the light is so cool. If you look at like, not to get too deep in the weeds in it, but if you look at like a painting like by Andrew Wyeth, you know, that he's about light too, and the light there on the East Coast or Pennsylvania is a lot colder. You know, it's more of a earthy light than it is here in Los Angeles. I don't know if that makes any sense. If you compare my painting to a Wyeth, you'll think, oh, Wyeth is much better. But you can see the difference in light. So
I don't like his paintings at all, but he makes a good point about light. No. No, I do totally know what you're saying, because like LA sunsets have this weird kind of orange later in the day. They're lit very strange. And I didn't understand. There was a place I used to go hiking called Fryman Canyon, and we went almost every day. And I never understood the phrase purple mountains majesty until I saw the sun on the mountains. I'm like, oh my God, they are purple. It's such a strange light pattern. Yeah.
You're right about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so can we, Conrad, let's put a painting up. If you're watching on the stream, folks, we've got some of Steve's work we're going to showcase here. This is an audio medium, so I won't talk too much about the painting itself, but you got to check out Steve's stuff. It's just great. If you like a nice painting that's going to remind you of a warm day at the beach or a sunny day, these are just phenomenal paintings. How much do they typically go for, Steve?
It depends if I like you or not. about 1,000, 1,200. Depends. Like sometimes if it's in a gallery, I got to charge more because they want a commission. And some of the galleries want a lot, you know, like 40%. So I got to jack up the price a little bit. But if you buy it off the website, it's, you know, like, I think 1,200 is the most expensive one.
How much would it cost a family of four to buy one of these paintings? No, if you, so is that framed and everything? Cause framing is a big deal too.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't, frame is too expensive for me, but everything's expensive. Like the canvas alone is like 50 or 60 bucks. So, you know, that's why it's high. But the frames, I was framing it for a while, framing things for a while, but it gets really expensive and it's harder to ship. With the frame, I got to pay more. So, you know, so now I don't frame them.
It's kind of a hassle too, isn't it? I mean, for you,
it's a total hassle. Yeah. It is. Yes.
You just want to paint and it's like,
yeah.
All right.
I got to frame it.
Suppose you want this frame too, Your Majesty.
Yeah.
Can we put one of Steve's paintings up on the stream? Oh, that's a great one. Can you see that, Steve?
Yeah.
All right, so that's that's a father and his daughter in the water waiting. For those of you who can't see the stream, beautiful water.
Yeah, he's about to drown his daughter. No, not really. I don't know why.
Well, the price on that one just went down quite a bit. can't give this thing away. Yeah. All right, so here's one. I'd love when you do this stuff, Steve, because. You know, I love when there are people in paintings, but also when you just capture, like, this is part of a fence and some electrical wires or phone wires and clouds.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that's so real and just, I don't know, talk about that painting we're looking at.
That is behind my building. And I've painted a bunch of pictures of that fence in particular, but I I work from photographs. I take a bunch of pictures and I look at the photographs and decide what I want and crop it a certain way and everything. But the power lines were in everything because there's all these, you know, behind us, there's like some kind of like box on the telephone pole and all these wires are coming out. They're everywhere. Huh. And it's easy to ignore them. You know, they're around all the time. You kind of don't see them. And I thought this time I would just put them in. That's actually what I like about this is the wires kind of dividing the painting in half.
Yeah.
But I painted behind my building, I painted a bunch of stuff with that particular fence. So, yeah.
I have to
ask. And I like the sky in it, too.
Yeah. My guest is Steve Segrin. He is an artist and an actor and a comedian, former comedian. You can see his paintings at Paintings by Steve Segrin, SEAGREN.com. Great stuff. Steve, you have I might have asked you about this last time. It's called The Potted Plant of Montecito.
And I sold that one. Yeah.
Did you really? That has all these bricks, which are different colors. How intensive and tedious is that, is painting something like that?
Oh man, that was a pain in the ass. That was one a good example. I got about halfway through and I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, because I had to mix different colors and you know, put them all, each brick is a different color and it just took forever. But
so great.
Yeah, I sold out. Yeah.
You sold a lot of these, funny. Dude.
Yeah. I had one guy, one collector who you know, Kirby Pope. Remember Kirby?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I love Kirby.
Yeah. He bought like 20 paintings.
What?
He's went crazy. Bought a bunch of them. Yeah.
How much do you make a year, and Steve?
I'm not going to say that on the air.
I'm totally kidding. This is fantastic, though. I love that. Like, Leo Benvenuti is another guy we knew from comedy, but he's doing paintings, too, and selling stuff. You guys, I'm kind of in awe of you guys. I couldn't get hired at the dollar store.
Thanks.
Steve, I want to let people know that Steve is also an actor. The movie I made that comes up periodically on this show, but we haven't talked about it for a while, thank God, The Godfather of Green Bay. Steve was in that movie. He's very funny. And we got a text, Steve, on the stream that says, this is from Kurt Krause, who was an extra in the film at like 18. He says, super excited Steve Segrin is on the show. I just DM'd you a BTS photo from The Godfather of Green Bay. Steve and co-cast were absolutely hilarious on set, on screens, and on our breaks behind the bar. That is one of the things. I love that Kurt sent that because... we had so much fun after we were done because we shot in a bar and everybody just hung out. And you were like actually bartending, even though you played a bartender in the movie. It was so much fun. Thank you, Kurt, for the text. Yeah. That's so great. Steve, do you have a favorite SNL cast member?
No, I haven't watched SNL in a long time. But you know what? The two sketches that always made me laugh. The Californians.
Oh, yeah. That's sketch from years ago.
That always makes me laugh. And the, I don't know who the guy is, but what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? It's like a talk show, but anytime anybody asks somebody a question, every time they start to answer, he'll start singing. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I never.
Keenan Thompson.
Keenan Thompson, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's hilarious.
Very funny guy. He's the longest running cast member in the history of the show.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's very funny. He's very funny. But that particular thing, what's up with that? They got a running joke. They'll have guests on, and just always the third guest is always it just went blank from Fleetwood Mac. What's his name?
From Mick Fleetwood? Lindsey Buckingham.
No. That's it.
Yeah.
Lindsey Buckingham. Yes.
Oh, nice.
So-and-so, and Lindsey Buckingham. Every time. It's always Lindsey Buckingham. So. It's very funny.
We have, we probably talked about this in the past too, but the film Manhunter, you and I are both big fans. I did this classic movie pick that I did. I shared that with you because I knew you liked the movie so much. Mike Schmidt.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, our mutual friend Mike Schmidt says, William Peterson uses and says the word pal cooler than anybody in the entertainment business. Like, I was like,
well, I never noticed, but I'll take Mike's word for that.
But you will now. It's so great. Steve Segrin is my guest, folks. We'll have a couple minutes with Steve after a very short break here. Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, I go all the way back to the beginning watching SNL for 50 years. Who is my favorite Saturday Night Live cast member? I would probably pick Dana Carvey as the church lady. Well, Steady Eddie isn't that special. That's my bad Dana Carvey. Yeah. He says, today's cast, James Austin Johnson being Donald J. Trump makes me laugh a lot. And, of course, jokes involving DJT write themselves. Right you are, Steady Eddie. Thank you for the text, buddy. We're coming right back with more Steve Segrin after this on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I only want to stand you now.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. Tomorrow night on the show, owner of Appleton Cigar, Norm Kopeski, will be here, a proud sponsor of Nightlight with Peach Wabba. He's going to talk about a big event called Smoke on the Fox that's coming out, or that'll be, I think, June 2nd. And then comedian Rob Breckenridge will be here in the studio. Always fun when Rob drops by. Steve, do you know Rob Breckenridge?
Yes, I do.
Great guy.
Yes, I do. Worked with him many times at the Skyline in Appleton.
He was out, I think, the first time I met him, I think, was in L.A. when he lived out there. And he's been back here for years now. And he's, and I'm going to talk about this with him tomorrow. He is the perfect... He has half Illinois, half Wisconsin accent. This is a phenomenon I've never seen before. And I don't think he's ever lived in Illinois, but he kind of says it seems like Rob Breckenridge. He's got that long A like you get down in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Chicago. Yeah,
and he
yeah.
does the best Wisconsin accent ever, too. He's just an absolute blast.
I don't find him that funny.
See, I think he's funny, but kind of a jerk. So we're kind of...
Well, I don't think he's a jerk. I just don't think he's...
Conrad, keep this. Let's play this tomorrow. When Rob I'm serious. Rob will crack up.
Tell him I said hi.
Tim Wacko is like that. When you hang out with another comedian friend of ours, Tim Wacko, he will bet if he doesn't agree with someone politically or something, he's a son of a... I love that guy.
No, yeah.
And then he'll... And then Tim will always close and go, he's a good guy, though. He's cool.
Good guy. He was a good guy. Good people.
Steve Segrin is my guest. You can check out his work at paintingsbystevesegrin.com. He does great stuff, great portraits. Steve, are they portraits? I don't want to say the wrong thing. Are they? I know they're paintings.
Nah, but... I'm not good at portraits.
Is a portrait just with a person?
Yeah, be their face, okay. That kind of thing, you know.
All right.
But, yeah, I'm not that good at them. I mean, if somebody wanted to paint a picture of them, I could probably do a good likeness of a human face, but it may not look like that person. So
nobody's ever come up to you and said, Steve, immortalize me, and then left happy.
No, not yet, anyway. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, before we let you get out of here, what are you watching, Steve? You got a good binge watch going on, or have you seen a good movie?
It's funny. I was thinking today, what movie do I want to talk about? And I'm going to tell you about a little film called, it's my favorite film from last year, by the way. It's called Ghostlight.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. It was directed by Kelly O'Sullivan, and it's shot in Waukegan.
Ooh.
And it's fantastic. It's great. It's just a little film, and it's you can stream it. It's on Prime, so you can stream it.
Horror?
But it's,
Is it a horror film?
No, it's a drama. It's about a construction worker who ends up doing Shakespeare with a community theater.
Oh, nice.
But it's you would think it'd be like kind of a fish out of water thing.
Yeah.
Which it's not really. It's more of about healing from grief through art.
Wow.
And it's very good. Very good. A really underrated movie that I thought for sure would be up for a SAG Award, but it wasn't. But but any chance I get, I'm going to plug it because I think it's terrific. And the main actor, Keith Kupferer,
who's
another Chicago guy. He's very good in it. And his whole family's in it. His daughter plays his daughter in the movie, and his wife plays his wife. So it's pretty.
Wow.
But it's very, very good. I think you'd like it if you saw it.
I have it up on IMDb Pro right now. What I love about it is I don't really recognize anyone in the cast, and I love finding.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I love finding movies where you could totally immerse yourself or lose yourself because you're not looking at movie stars. You know, they're just great actors.
Oh yeah,
love
that. Yeah, that's I like it. It's just a small movie, and it really kind of we put it on. It just kind of snuck up on me. I'm like, wow, this is really good. So
that's even better.
So I wanted to plug that. But what I've been streaming, Nancy and I, my wife, my beautiful wife, we like to stream, for some reason we got into BBC police procedural stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of those.
Like
yeah.
Shetland. Oh my God. And they're all about the same, you know, but I learned something though. See, once we discovered subtitles, then we started watching all this British stuff. Because then we can understand what they're saying. Right. Because there's two kinds of British accents. There's PBS British, and there's BBC British.
Oh,
now,
nice.
PBS British, you could pretty much just watch, and it's no, you know. But BBC, you need subtitles. Because you can't understand what they're saying. So, but yeah. But
that's awesome.
We've been watching Shetland. And
I've heard that's good.
Ijack, right? Yeah. It's a little town in, guess where is that? Scotland? Shetland?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it's like an island, I think. But apparently a lot of crime happens there.
Yeah, you don't want to visit there.
You don't go there because apparently there's a lot of murders, a lot of drugs going through there.
Steve.
You know,
go ahead.
No, you remember Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, yeah.
The motorcycle gang movie. Like, they were in some small town in Northern California.
Absolutely.
And everybody was going through there. The IRA was going through there. Nazis, the cartel. I mean, this is a small town of maybe 500 people.
Right under people's noses.
Right, so I couldn't believe it.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always so much fun to have you on. And
keep
selling those paintings, man. We'll do it again, I hope.
All right.
Okay, buddy. Right. Steve Segrin, check out paintingsbystevesegrin.com. Let's see if we can get through a couple more texts here. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, not sure of spelling or if this his name. Here goes. Father Guido Sarducci. Very nice. That's a great one. Bridget from the 818 says, Gilda Radner, so many funny characters. Iconic. Dave on the stream says, Goose Grease is the best. Talking about lubes, of course. Joseph on the stream says, Haters NYC character is Stefan. So good. Robert on the stream, love Dana Carvey as the church lady. All great stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much to Kristen Lyerly. Thank you to Steve Segrin. Tom from New Berlin says, Mr. Bill, we are so far behind. I apologize, texters. Tom also says, Siobhan was his name. I forgot. As usual, Conrad, I forgot what we were talking when he texted that. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for all your texts. Great stuff. We'll be back tomorrow night to do this all again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The FBI says the Palm Springs Fertility Clinic bombing is the largest in Southern California's recent history. And CBS News has learned the bomb used was made of a powerful explosive chemical mixture. The blast encompassed a multi-block radius. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
The suspect, 25-year-old Guy Edward Barkus, was killed in the explosion. A law enforcement official tells CBS News that investigators have found bomb-making materials inside the suspect's home in the community of 29 Palms. That's an hour's drive from the Palm Springs Clinic. They're also digging through his computers, phones, and online records.
A former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine says he does not believe a lengthy phone call between President Trump and Vladimir Putin will result in fruitful ceasefire negotiations with Ukraine.
Stephen Piper is now with the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University. He says